Radio.net, around the world and on satellite.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of American Exposé. I'm Darren Weeks, your host for the next hour. On this August 8th, 2005 edition of the broadcast, as we start another week, chronicling the crisis of our republic. And we're pleased to have you along for this hour. Your participation is certainly welcome, 559-781-3773. Once again, 559-781-3773. If anyone wants to call in tonight, you're more than welcome. I don't mind being interrupted. Feel free to call in, 559-781-3773. Let me know you're listening, and participation is certainly welcome. I have some information to share with you, quite a bit, actually, and there's no way we're going to get through it all. A lot of interesting stuff. First of all, to start off the broadcast, I want you folks to go to the website, AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C. There is something that I just posted just before the program tonight. This is a link that Dennis sent to me. And it's a rather interesting thing. It's from Google Maps. Most of you may know, or some of you may know anyway, that Google has bought out a company that basically was in charge of satellite mapping the entire planet, basically. This company took satellite photos of the entire planet, and you were able to buy their software and see any place in the planet, and certain places, bigger cities especially, you could see tighter shots. But they're literally photo shots from a satellite in outer space, and you're able to see things. I mean, it's kind of fun to play with sometimes. You can type in a zip code, 90210, and see all the ritzy houses, you know, over Beverly Hills or someplace. But, you know, it's also got a little bit of a Big Brother aspect to it as well, or a lot of a Big Brother aspect. But one advantage to it is we're able to see things now that we were never able to see before and search things out as well. And I don't know if Dennis did this himself or if he came across it from somewhere else, but at any rate, there is a link to the coordinates on the Google Map site that is posted. I just posted it before the program. He sent it to me, and I thought it was important enough to put up there. It is an aerial view of the Naval Academy in San Diego. And the buildings form a swastika. It's absolutely amazing to see this, and I just thought it was interesting enough. And Dennis asked the question, do you think this is a coincidence? Well, my answer to that is probably no more of a coincidence than the shape of the Pentagon. You know? So, check that out anyway. It's at AmericanExpose.com under Latest News and Information for August 9th, 2005. And I don't know why it would be the 9th, because it's not the 9th yet. If it must be, yeah, it's Greenwich Mean Time, okay. So anyway, it's on tomorrow's date. By, if you're not in the GMT time zone. So at any rate, check it out. It's on, it's called Naval Academy Building in the Form of Swastika. And it'll take you right to the Google site, so nobody can argue that it's authentic, if in fact everything on Google site is authentic. I have no reason at this point to believe otherwise. But a lot of things going on. One other thing that Dennis has posted on the website, a piece from the Salt Lake Tribune. Oil company deal, dark side of free trade goes well beyond oil. And it says, Americans are deeply conflicted about China. We've talked a lot about China on this program and the strategic partnership between Russia and China. But they say there's a good reason for Americans being deeply conflicted about China. Exhibit A, the panic that gripped Congress when a Chinese oil company, CNOOC Limited, tried to buy an American oil company, Unocal. Republicans and Democrats alike fell all over each other in the stampede to file bills to delay or kill the deal. After tacking into the teeth of this formidable political headwind for weeks and finding progress impossible, the Chinese company withdrew its bid. Lest you forget, these are the same members of Congress who, in other contexts, yammer about the wonders of free trade and vote to admit China to be the world to the World Trade Organization, which, if memory serves me correctly, folks, I think that was one of the current communist goals outlined in the Congressional Record back in 1963. Anyway, continuing, they do this sort of thing while conveniently overlooking the $162 billion trade deficit the United States ran up with China last year and the tens of thousands of jobs that American-based corporations have exported to China, where these firms can employ Chinese workers literally at slave wages. And see, that shows the BS of it all. Because if Congress was really concerned, Congress would do something about trade with China. Congress would do something about the trade deficit. But you see, if you go into the Homeland Security, I think it's in the Homeland Security section of the SweetLiberty.org website, there is a map. And I'll have to search this out to let you know for sure where it is. I'm thinking Homeland Security. But there's a map of what they plan to do, and this was published in a controlled mainstream media publication, and I forget which one. There is a map of how they were restructuring government under the Office of Homeland Security. And you'll notice that Congress is not even connected. I mean, they have the whole map of how all the lines are drawn between the various departments, the various regulatory agencies, and Congress is off to the side, and it isn't connected to anything. And we'll have to post that link. For those of you who are interested, though, I believe it's the Homeland Security section of SweetLiberty.org, and it would be homeland.sweetliberty.org. Somebody go there and let me know that I know what I'm talking about here. Confirm that it is that's the section that it's under. I can't think of another section it would be. But at any rate, they say, all of this is good, Congress assures us, because Americans can buy ridiculously cheap T-shirts and electronics at Walmart. We're talking about trade here. If Walmart employees can't afford T-shirts and other luxuries like health insurance, well, that's their fault. The Walton family is doubly happy, though, because they are expanding their retail empire, you guessed it, in China. So far, the Chinese are also happy. They are pleased to finance the debt of desperate Americans trying to cling to a standard of living they can no longer afford because their jobs have been exported. China is also happy to buy the debt of the deficit-challenged U.S. government, partly because this policy makes U.S. exports to China more expensive and Chinese exports to the United States cheaper. But when these same Chinese attempt to use a tiny fraction of their hoard of dollars to buy an American oil company, well, Congress suddenly has second thoughts about free trade. Apparently, oil is different than T-shirts. It dawned on various politicians that if the Chinese acquired an American oil company with reserves in Asia, or that company might decide to sell its fossil fuels exclusively to China, especially during a confrontation with the United States. That scenario makes the deal a matter of national security, as if trade deficits and job losses are not. And that's a very good point there from the Salt Lake Tribune, and I'm not sure who authored that article. But at any rate, we have traitors in the Congress, we have traitors in the executive, we have traitors in every branch of government, and most people are oblivious to the reality of how bad our country is bleeding. Here we see, from the Liberty Committee, a guy named Kent Snyder writes about the CAFTA vote. And we told you, folks, on a previous broadcast about the bullying that's been going on here. And the bullying that we believe went on behind the scenes. Well, here's another example of what he outlines in July 29, 2005. He says, when the official 15-minute period ended, CAFTA had gone down to defeat. 180 nays to 175 yays. But the House leadership was so politically driven to get what they wanted, they broke the House rules. They simply violated the time limit in order to keep twisting arms and making deals until they finally had bought or coerced enough votes to pass CAFTA an hour later. Well, you know, I think here's the time to bring our, that's right, our CAFTA heads up theme in here. Twist some Republican arms until they break into a thousand pieces. That statement by Representative Jim Colby, a Republican from Arizona, describes the Republican leadership's rabid determination to get the U.S. House to pass the Central American Free Trade Agreement, or CAFTA, no matter what. The vote that began late Wednesday night finally ended just after midnight on Thursday morning, July 28th, but Mr. Colby's statement doesn't begin to tell the whole truth. Here's some of what he left out. Because President Bush and the House leadership knew the votes would be razor close, the day the vote began, with the president making a rare appearance on Capitol Hill to speak before the closed-door session members-only meeting of House Republicans that morning. He even brought Vice President Dick Cheney and Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice with him. And then the arm-twisting began. That's like just like the true godfather that he is. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, you can't hate Bush. There's no point in hating Bush. As many people like to beat up on Bush, the bottom line is Bush is a straw man. Bush is the guy you're supposed to hate. Bush is the guy you're supposed to blame. Bill Clinton is the guy you're supposed to blame. George Herbert Walker Bush is the guy you're supposed to blame. You got to understand, folks, we got to get out of the dialectic of the controllers and quit blaming presidents. They're just straw men. They're just front men for the people who are really behind the scenes, the real shadow government manipulators and controllers. They say the arm twisting began. The last minute negotiations for Republican votes resembled the wheeling and dealing on a car lot. Republicans who were opposed or undecided were courted during hurried meetings in Capitol hallways, on the House floor, and at the White House. GOP leaders told their rank and file that if they wanted anything, now was the time to ask, lawmakers said, and members took advantage of the opportunity by requesting things such as fundraising appearances by Cheney and the restoration of money the White House has tried to cut from agricultural programs. Lawmakers also said many of the favors bestowed in exchange for votes will be tucked away into the huge energy and highway bills that Congress is scheduled to pass this week. And that, of course, was the week of July 28, 2005. And this was a quote from the Washington Post, by the way. All this wheeling and dealing going on. Continuing on here. Kent says, yet despite all the bribes and threats, one congressman estimates at least $47 billion in pork just to get CAFTA passed. Despite all the bribes and threats, Republican establishment would later that night fail to get the U.S. House to pass CAFTA when the legitimate 15-minute voting period would expire. CAFTA would be stopped fair and square, or would it? even though House Republican leaders preach the importance of good morals and run for office on, quote, family values, their game plan already included buying votes and breaking the rules to get what they wanted. Before the CAFTA debate even began Wednesday evening, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay stated, quote, it will be a tough vote, but we will pass CAFTA tonight, unquote. It was a bold prediction by Mr. DeLay. A bold prediction by Mr. DeLay, considering that the vote was too close to call and he knew it. But when you have the power to break the rules and no qualms about doing so, you can afford to make such predictions. 2 hours of debate on CAFTA ended in the U.S. House at 10:59 p.m. Wednesday night. Representatives Ray LaHood, Republican from Illinois, Speaker pro tempore, then ordered a 15-minute vote, at the end of which CAFTA had been defeated. But with the vote kept open for more than an hour after it began, the final vote tally was 217 in favor and 215 against, with two not voting. Or was it? We were led to believe that the two members who didn't vote... Now get this, folks. This is very important, and this is why I'm covering this. I want you to understand the manipulation and why I call it Congress. We have elections in this country that I believe are a total sham. Our elections are a total sham. We have three companies controlling most of the ballots in this country. Okay? Now we have a Congress who, according to at least one congressman, says his vote was changed on CAFTA. Listen to this. 2 hours of debate on CAFTA ended in the U.S. House at 10:59 p.m. Wednesday night. Representative Ray LaHood, a Republican from Illinois, Speaker pro tempore, then ordered a 15-minute vote, at the end of which CAFTA had been defeated. But with the vote kept open for more than 1 hour after it began, the final vote was 217 in favor and 215 against, with two not voting. And then the question, or was it? We were led to believe that the two members who didn't vote, Joanne Davis, a Republican from Virginia, and Charles Taylor, Republican from North Carolina, who were already on record as going to vote no and would have defeated CAFTA, had been persuaded to remain silent. That's what we were led to believe, that they had been persuaded to remain silent. Mr. Taylor's was a key vote from a textile state that everyone was watching. Republican leaders spent much of the time wrestling with about 10 rebellious but undecided Republicans, according to the New York Times, pleading and pressuring one after another to vote for the agreement. And see, what never gets reported in here is I'm wondering if other strong-arm deals were made. They say the intense arm twisting went on. Were there threats made against family members? I guess we'll never know. They continue, they say, the herd mentally dictates that if you can break key resistance, the rest will follow. But on Thursday, the day after the vote, this person says, I received a telephone call from a talk radio host in Congressman Taylor's district. He told me he had asked Mr. Taylor that morning why he didn't vote against CAFTA, as he had pledged. And the talk radio host told me Taylor said he had voted no, but somebody changed it. And Mr. Taylor was furious. He said, I voted no. And he announced that in a terse statement on Thursday, saying the House clerk's written log showed his vote. So the Republican leadership claimed the razor-thin victory. On Thursday, Presidential Press Secretary Scott McClellan bragged, quote, and on the Central American Free Trade Agreement, last night's vote was a real victory for the American people, unquote. Well, that's what Bill Clinton told us about NAFTA in 1993, and we're so much better off, aren't we, ladies and gentlemen? At any rate, this piece, if you want to read it again, and there is a link to the vote tally, is on AmericanExpose.com, posted there by Dennis. I just thought that was very interesting. So do we have vote tampering going on now in the Congress? Voter fraud? Moving along here. This is a piece I found rather interesting. You know, global warming is something that they're not letting go of. They've really intensified the rhetoric about this supposed phenomenon that they say human beings are causing. And their only cure for that is, well, to restrict what human beings do and what they produce. Here we see from Reuters, environmental damage seen from shuttle. Environmental damage seen from shuttle. Dateline Houston, Commander Eileen Collins said astronauts on shuttle Discovery had seen widespread environmental destruction on Earth and warned on Thursday that greater care was needed to protect natural resources. Her comments came as NASA pondered whether to send astronauts out on an extra spacewalk to repair additional heat protection damage on the first shuttle mission since the 2003 Columbia disaster. Discovery is linked with the International Space Station and orbiting 220 miles above the Earth. 220 miles above the Earth. 220 miles above the Earth. I repeated that because I want it to sink in, folks. They say sometimes you can see how there is erosion, and you can see how there is deforestation. It's very widespread in some parts of the world, Collins said in a conversation from space with Japanese officials in Tokyo, including Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi. We would like to see, that he continued, or this person continued, Collins, we would like to see from an astronaut's point of view, people take good care of the Earth and replace the resources that have been used. Uh-huh. So here we're to believe now that these astronauts were out doing their little spacewalk, repairing the damage to the shuttle, and happen to notice, oh, gee, the Earth has a lot less trees. Now, folks, if you believe that, then I got some oceanfront property I want to sell you. Because I think this is just remarkable what we're being asked to swallow. But see, the problem is the average TV watching American doesn't bother to ask any questions anymore. If it's in print, if it's in the controlled media, hey, it's got to be true, right? I mean, Americans aren't propagandized. That's something other countries do to their people. Why, our media would never tell a lie, would it? They continued. They say Collins, flying her fourth shuttle mission, said the view from space made clear that Earth's atmosphere must be protected too. The atmosphere almost looks like an eggshell on an egg. It's so very thin, she said. We know that we don't have much air. We need to protect what we have. So these astronauts apparently can see that we don't have much air on Earth. I don't know, ladies and gentlemen. I haven't really noticed a shortage of air, have you? I mean, I'm breathing okay. While Collins and Noguchi chatted, NASA officials were deciding whether a torn insulation blanket protecting part of the shuttle surface could rip off and strike a damaging blow to Discovery when it re-enters the atmosphere. I don't know if there's any more relevant stuff in here or not, but I just find this remarkable. Remarkable. I think it goes, I think it's the rest of it is about the shuttle. But at any rate, so now apparently the environmental damage is so bad on Earth, you people are destroying so much out there. With your barbecuing, your driving of your cars, you're living your daily life. Now you're destroying things so badly, the damage can be seen by the astronauts in outer space, 220 miles up. Remarkable. Continuing on here, I don't remember who sent this to me, but apparently now the U.S. Army has become so desperate. Their mobilization of retirees going on. From the Army's website, the U.S. Army Human Resources Command, they say the Secretary of the Army's approval is required to mobilize retirees. Section 688 and 12301 of Title 10 U.S. Code and Army Regulation 601-10 govern the recall and mobilization management of retired soldiers of the Army. When directed by the Secretary of the Army, retirees from any component may be mobilized and recalled to active duty. HRC St. Louis's retiree mobilization is the Mobilization Planning and Recall Center for U.S. Army retirees. HRC St. Louis maintains soldier data for all retirees in the Total Army Personnel Database, and blah, 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 on it goes. Now, they have a question and answer thing on this page, but I won't bore you with all the details. I'll put this link up on the AmericanExpose.com after the website or after the broadcast tonight so you can see it for yourself. A lot of things going on, and these wars are certainly a very important part of establishing the one world government, the new world order that George Herbert Walker Bush referred to during his presidency. And we're not conspiracy kooks when we talk about the new world order anymore, because when you have a president on TV talking about it, well, how could there be any doubt? Moving along here. Deanna Springola writes in NewsWithViews.com about the selling out of America. I believe this is another one that Dennis posted on the website. She says, while our sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, mothers, and fathers have been spilling their blood in the sands of Iraq under the guise of restoring the country to the Iraqi citizens, and what a load of garbage that really is, folks. I mean, this isn't about restoring democracy, or is it? Maybe when you realize what democracy really is, as Mikhail Gorbachev, speaking at a presentation of an opinion poll on attributes to the sweeping reforms he launched after taking helm as the Soviet leader 20 years ago, Gorbachev said that his point of perestroika, or restructuring, was, quote, more democracy, more socialism. That's just one of many, and I was just reading to you from an Associated Press story dated March 9th. Gorbachev knows what democracy really is. Why is it that the American people think that it's a constitutional form of government? It's because we've been dumbed down. It's because we've been propagandized on every front. These wars going on around the world right now, we're told, is to restore democracy, or we're told is to spread democracy. And when you realize what democracy really is, democracy is socialism, according to Mikhail Gorbachev, who said it on numerous occasions. Why is it that our leaders here in this country are confused about it? They're not confused about it. That's the whole point. We're all confused about it because we're being lied to every single day. We've got to take a break here in just a moment. The leaders of the three countries met at Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and we're talking about the leaders of Canada, Mexico, and the United States. She says, while our president is requiring protected borders in Iraq, he is obliterating not only our southern but our northern borders as well. Now, why is that, ladies and gentlemen? And why is it that most people are completely unaware of the plan to make a free trade area of the Americas? Why is it that people who work with me in the media, in the controlled media, were unaware of CAFTA until either I told them about it or the unions started running an ad on our station? You had very little about it from anyone in the media. In fact, I think it was almost a complete blackout in the media. Now, if we're not being lied to, why is that? We got to take a break. We'll be back. There's much more to come. We're going to get into some Iraqi communism after the break. Stay with us, folks. 559-781-3773 if you want to participate. We'll be back in a moment.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, Nations have fought for it. It has been traded. It has been borrowed. It has been purchased. It has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Back to the broadcast, American Exposé. Go to the website, AmericanExposé.com, spelled with a K, and don't miss the partner sites on there, folks. The Anti-Communitarian League being a very important site with Nikki and Nordica. Wonderful, wonderful research that they have on there. I mean, they have more links on there than, oh man, most people can't imagine. I mean, the time that has went into that site is incredible, and they need your support, as does this network. FirstAmendmentRadio.com is the direction to support this website or this network if you're going to keep it on the air. Free speech outlets are very rare. We have a limited amount of time to spread the information. As the United Nations is trying to take control of the Internet, this plan has been going forward for a very long time. And that's why it's critical, if we're going to get a chance to get the word out, that we do so as quickly as possible. Now, before the break, I was talking to you about building a North American community. This is information from Deanna Spingola, writing in NewsWithViews.com. I want to start over here because I interrupted myself when just before the break when I started this. It says, while our sons, daughters, sisters, brothers, mothers, and fathers have been spilling their blood in the sands of Iraq under the guise of restoring the country to the Iraqi citizens, and the guise is the key there, folks, our president is in the process of giving our country to the elite, one world order insiders. While our president is requiring protected borders in Iraq, he is obliterating not only our southern but our northern borders as well. The leaders of three countries met at Baylor University in Waco, Texas on the 23rd of March of this year. The meeting included George W. Bush, Mexican President Vicente Fox, and Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin. There were no security cameras or media coverage on the event. So-called conservative or liberal media. These three wannabe dictators established the, quote, security and prosperity partnership in North America, unquote. Security and prosperity partnership in North America. Now, folks, if that doesn't sound like socialism, I've never heard what socialism sounds like. Security and prosperity. This is the mantra of the global elite. This is what Tony Blair called for after September 11th when he said, let us reorder this world. The pieces are in flux. Soon they'll settle again. Let's reorder this world and use modern science to provide prosperity for all. We've heard this lie, this communist lie, over and over and over again. The lie to provide prosperity for all, a chicken in every pot. They say, see the announcement of the results of this Three Amigos meeting. So who notified the council for their expert socialist input? Some of our senators have also jumped on the Give America Away bandwagon by writing surreptitious supportive bills. It appears that the only people left out of the loop are the American people. On May 17, 2005, the Council on Foreign Relations created an independent task force to study the three-country pact. The 31-member task force was chaired by John F. Manley, Pedro Aspe, and William F. Weld, and vice-chaired by Robert A. Pastor, Thomas T. D'Aquino, Andres Rosenthal. These efforts were sponsored by the CFR in association with the Canadian Council of Chief Executives and the Consejo Mexicano de Asuntos. I can't pronounce all these Mexican names. A CFR press release was issued the same day, May 17, 2005, which indicates they actually started working on this freedom-stealing project much earlier. The results of their meeting were as follows. The task force maintains that North America is vulnerable in several areas, including terrorist and criminal security threats, increased economic competition from abroad, and uneven economic development at home. Well, folks, first of all, these are all created crises. Uneven economic development. When you have a country, all you can do is to govern that country in the best manner that you can to make that country strong. Freedom always leads to prosperity. If you give people freedom, you acknowledge their God-given freedom, maybe that would be a better way of saying it, then people will create prosperity for themselves. That's just the way life works. Whenever you have a lack of prosperity, you have government. You can bet that government has done something to cause it. I mean, I understand that there are occasional times when there are natural disasters that take place. But when you understand the Hegelian dialectic that we have going on today, when you understand that they have a tsunami bomb that they were working on in 1944, when you understand the HEART Project and what it's really about, and do we really understand what it's about, when you understand you have weather manipulation going on a massive scale today, which we've documented in the past, then the question then becomes, how much are these natural disasters really natural? In consideration of these concerns, they continue, and we're talking about the concerns of terrorism, criminal security threats, and increased economic competition from abroad. In consideration of these concerns, the task force developed the following roadmap to fix the challenges that face the three countries on this continent. See, what we're dealing with is the Hegelian dialectic. They created the problems, now they're going to tell you how they're going to fix the problems that they created. The CFR proposes to implement an even more ambitious plan for the new community. New community, what are we talking about here? Communitarianism, folks. A more ambitious plan for the new community than the covert pact agreed on by the Three Amigos. Their target date is 2010. Their recommendations include, co-chair Pedro C. Aspe, former finance minister of Mexico, said, quote, "We need a vision for North America to address the new challenges," unquote. This vision actually refers to the nightmare of the FTAA, the Free Trade Area of the Americas. What NAFTA didn't do to destroy the America middle class, the FTAA will surely complete. Bush has been vividly, avidly promoting CAFTA, which, of course, we know that Congress has passed, which is the stepping stone to the FTAA. And if anybody doubts that, all you got to do is read the NAFTA or the CAFTA preamble. The preamble right there says all that you need to know about it being a stepping stone to the FTAA. It is completely in the worst possible interests of the American people. It will be devastating to the American economy. The CFR said, quote, "We are asking the leaders of the United States, Mexico, and Canada to be bold and adopt a vision of the future that is bigger than and beyond the immediate problems of the present." John P. Manley, co-chairman, former Canadian Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of France. He continued, saying, quote, "They could be the architects of a new community of North America, not mere custodians of the status quo," unquote. This basically means that Americans must give up their freedoms and hard-won sovereignty along with all resources for the greater good of the new community. It is a socialistic equation designed to make slaves of everyone in all three countries. This will occur as a result of the secret subversive activities of our ruling elitists who have never sacrificed anything except their integrity. When it comes time to sell this socialistic venture, Bush will adopt his multi-purpose Christian, quote-unquote, stance and use every possible guilt maneuver to encourage this good-hearted Christian country to open up their hearts to the less fortunate. This is a ploy to make all of us less fortunate. And that's what we've been telling you all along. There will be many who will fall for this scam under the pretext of Christianity. If we think Christians are medium aligned now, just wait. We will be the most hated inmates in the camp. All of this is done under the facade of protecting us from the terrorists. The worst terrorists we face are those who serve in our government. Another day that shall live in infamy, 9/11 has done much to serve the purpose of those whose main goal is to establish the one world order. What an opportunistic event. It couldn't have worked any better if they'd planned it. And I'm sure that comment is made tongue in cheek. For this coming political transition for America, Canada, and Mexico, the CFR task force suggests the following specific measures. Make North America safer. From their website, establish a common security perimeter by 2010. Develop a North American border pass with biometric identifiers. Develop a unified border action plan and expand border customs facilities. Here's another one. Create a single economic space. Adopt a common external tariff. A common external tariff. Allow for the seamless movement of goods within North America. Move to full labor mobility between Canada and the U.S. Develop a North American energy strategy that gives greater emphasis to reducing emissions of greenhouse gases, a regional alternative to Kyoto. Review those sectors of NAFTA that were excluded. Develop and implement a North American regulatory plan that would include open skies and open roads and a unified approach for protecting consumers on food, health, and the environment. Expand temporary worker programs and create a North American preference for immigration for citizens of North America. Under the heading of spread benefits more evenly, they say, the goal is to establish a North American investment fund to build infrastructure to connect Mexico's poorer regions in the south to the market to the north. Restructure and reform Mexico's public finances. Fully develop Mexican energy resources to make greater use of international technology and capital. Under the heading of institutionalize the partnership, the goals are to establish a permanent tribunal for trade and investment disputes, convene an annual North American summit meeting, establish a tri-national competition commission to develop a common approach to trade remedies, expand scholarships to study in three countries, and develop a network of centers for North American studies. Co-chair William F. Feld, former governor of Massachusetts and U.S. Assistant Secretary, U.S. Assistant Attorney General, said, quote, "We are three liberal democracies." I'll let it go because I covered it earlier. But he's saying we are three liberal democracies. We are adjacent. We are already intertwined economically. We have a great deal in common historically. Culturally, we have a lot to learn from each other. First of all, Comrade Weld, she says, we are not a democracy, and we never have been a democracy in spite of all the brainwashing from the media and from politicians who are elected to represent the people of this republic. I'm glad she covered it. Most don't. Perhaps if the Pledge of Allegiance were recited more by the citizens, they would remember or recognize that we pledge allegiance to the republic. This brings up another matter, our allegiance. This unelected task force has no business trashing the allegiance of this nation. The president who swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States has no business trashing the Constitution or sneakily switching our allegiance to a newly created entity for facilitated population control. Furthermore, if we wish to learn something about our neighbors to the north or south, we can read about them in a textbook or a history book, providing they have not already changed those history books to reflect the new borders. Apparently, the big bucks businessmen, prominent former officials, and academic experts from the three nations devised this devilish plan for the rest of us and have agreed that their ideas are for our own good. You know, I'll interject here. For those who might think that it's for our own good and that these things are not a problem, why is this all being done in such secret? I mean, if it's such a wonderful thing, why are they meeting behind closed doors to do this? The task force members came from, and they have a link to a list here, and I'll post this link, by the way. Actually, I think it's already posted. The Selling Out of America. I think this is one of the things that Dennis posted. Yes, it is. It's under August 8th, today's date. So you can go there and read this, number 8. And I recommend doing so because there are links in here to the actual documents. The Council on Foreign Relations in New York, the Mexican Council on Foreign Relations, and the Canadian Council of Chief Executives form the task force. With regard to this nefarious CFR May meeting, member Dr. Robert A. Pastor, Vice President, International Affairs, Professor Director, and the Center for North American Studies, American University, was invited to testify before the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Western Hemisphere, Peace Corps, and Narcotics Affairs on the 9th of June, 2005. Dr. Pastor was asked to speak about the Western Hemisphere Travel Initiative, and that is hyperlinked as well, as it pertained to America and our border issues. What he gave them was the results of the independent task force meeting of the 17th of May 2005, which basically addresses the future of North America. I'm only halfway done with this piece, but I'm going to leave that there, folks. I strongly recommend going to the website, AmericanExpose.com, and reading the entire thing. Because this Deanna Springola seems to have her ducks in a row about what's going on. There's more and more writers that are writing outside the dialectic, and that's a good thing to see. Moving along here. We've told you in the past about how communism is advancing in Iraq. And the Iraqi Communist Party was put into power in Baghdad. According to WorldNet Daily, prior to the overthrow of the Saddam Hussein regime, the Iraqi Communist Party, in fact, all of the communist parties of Iraq were being sought out by Saddam Hussein and being slaughtered. A piece from WorldNet Daily called Red Flags Fly Over Baghdad, Iraqi Communists Get U.S. Support in Role in New Interim Government. And this was from last year. I'll share with you a little bit of this to remind you. It says the Iraqi Communist Party is strongly represented in the new interim government in Baghdad and is getting U.S. taxpayer support thanks to a U.S. group led by former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright. And it says no group in Iraq was more vociferous in its celebration June 28th of the transition of power from the U.S.-led coalition than the Iraqi Communist Party. Outside the party's office in Baghdad, a dancing, cheering crowd waved red flags as sympathetic passing motorists sounded their horns. Iraq's biggest left-wing party has received a surprising amount of support and credibility, even while U.S. troops fight Islamist terrorists and remnants of Saddam Hussein forces. They say while the ICP welcomed Saddam Hussein's removal from power, it opposed the war that made it possible, arguing that diplomatic means had not been exhausted. And there you have the Hegelian dialectic. They create their own opposition so that they can convince you that there's really a contest going on of ideas. The communists press for inclusion in the interim government, a body created by the U.S. One U.S. supporter of the ICP has been the National Democratic Institute for International Affairs, a private taxpayer-funded group led by Albright, reports Joseph Ferris G2 Bulletin. And again, I want to say that I don't necessarily endorse WorldNet Daily or Joseph Ferris, as they have some very questionable views on a lot of things. They go on to say in this piece that Iraqi communists cooperated over the years with a number of Iraqi regimes, including from time to time the Ba'ath Party. The last period of cooperation with Ba'ath ended in 1979, with the party going again underground. By 1993, another communist party, the Workers' Communist Party of Iraq, joined the scene and linked with the Iranian Communist Party. Another force has been the Kurdish Communist Party. At times it is difficult to differentiate between the origins of statements and actions, and in the eyes of their opponents, they are all labeled with one term, Iraqi Communists. The Workers' Communist Party of Iraq has stronger relations with the Kurds and with the Iranians. They say Iraqi Communists at times actually assisted hostile countries such as Iran, especially during the long Iran-Iraq War of 1980 to 1988, according to this bulletin. at any rate, I was trying to find the place in here where they said that Saddam Hussein was hunting them down and killing them, because I remember reading that in there. The point here is that communism is alive and well in Russia. We have the United Nations implementing Agenda 21 in Russia, or in Iraq, excuse me. And this is going on, even as we are also strengthening China. We covered earlier on this program that China and Russia have engaged in joint exercises to strengthen ties. We have joint partnerships being formed between China and Russia. We have communism being built up in Iraq. And yet Americans believe they live in a free country with a benevolent government. How propagandized and how dumbed down we have been led to believe. We've been distracted. People have been focusing on reality TV, focusing on music videos, focusing on everything on TV. We've been focusing on sports. We've been focusing on everything but what we should be focusing on. Here we see from a professor of political sciences for Okanagan University College. It says the specter of a China-Russia strategic alliance is looming larger on the Eurasian continent. The signs are increasingly clear. Both China and Russia strongly opposed to the NATO bombing of Yugoslavia, during which the Chinese embassy was bombed by the Americans. Both China and Russia strongly opposed the U.S. proposal to develop a theater missile defense system and to amend the Intermediate Range Ballistic Missile Treaty with Russia. In the U.N., China joined Russia and Belarus in co-sponsoring the motion to keep the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty. The motion was recently passed, and this is dated, by the way, February 2000. The motion was passed by the UN General Assembly. Russia has recently conducted a series of missile tests amid mounting Western protests against its military actions in Chechnya. China has expressed support for the Russian military actions. In December 99, Boris Yeltsin canceled his plans to visit France and Germany, but flew to China in spite of his illness. While he was in Beijing, he chose to remind the world in the presence of top Chinese leaders that Russia, quote, has a full arsenal of nuclear arms, unquote. We've also covered on this program, too, ladies and gentlemen, that as recently as this month, or this last month, I believe it was in July, that China, an official from China, threatened to use nuclear weapons over Taiwan. Now, that was, of course, downplayed afterwards. But all of this is going on, ladies and gentlemen. We have the military out of this country. We have our governmental leaders, quote unquote, telling us that we have to get the terrorists abroad so that we don't have to fight them on our own turf. We have to fight them on foreign turf so that we don't have to fight them here. And yet, in the meantime, we are being made vulnerable. We are closing down military bases here in this country. Our border is a major problem. We have people flooding into our border all the time. We are empowering China through trade. We are enriching them. The China Ocean Shipping Company is calling on U.S. seaports every single day. And according to Roger Canfield, we have Costco containers behind locked gates at the Port of Long Beach in December of 1999. So these military bases that are being closed down, are these being, what's being stored at these military bases? What is BRAC really about, base realignment and closure? These are questions that should keep every single American awake at night. But Americans aren't being kept awake at night by these things because, unfortunately, Americans don't seem to either, number one, know, or if they do, those, when you tell them, they say, well, what can we do about it? Well, we can let everyone else know about it. And we can start putting pressure on our supposedly elected officials, because that's what it's going to take to get something done. We need a lot of people to raise Cain about these issues. Otherwise, America doesn't stand a chance, and future generations don't stand a chance either. I love this country, folks. I believe most of you out there love this country as well, or you wouldn't be listening. We have to do what we can to preserve what we have. The stakes are too high. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. And we'll talk to you later. Good night.
Okay, Mr. Smith, let's take a look at what you're doing for the long term.
Okay, let's see. I have several mutual funds, a few T-bills, CDs, and a sizable amount of gold.
Oh, I'm talking about the long term.
Oh, definitely.
I won't be touching this stuff till retirement.
I mean the long term.
The long term.
After retirement?
What's after retirement?
A very long term.
Oh.
What investments have you made for that period of your life?